It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars.
It's Tuesday, September 28th, 2021. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Don't have much to say here. Should we get right to the good stuff?
Let's do it.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Yesterday we were talking about Zellers, because that was the big news the other day.
Yeah.
That the Bay is doing this Zellers store within a store concept in Ontario.
Yeah, they had this pop-up shop that they did in Burlington.
Burlington?
Yeah.
With the potential to expand to other markets. And our generation reacted with much excitement.
Yes.
People were saying, oh my God, I love Zellers. I miss this store. No, you don't. You do not. No one misses Zellers.
No.
You do not miss Zellers.
Well, this is what I was saying yesterday. I was like, do you ever think about how uninviting the store truly was as a whole? Like, you walk in and there's the stark red and white and then those awful lights that make everything look drear. There's no windows.
Morgue lights. They make everyone look like a dead body in a morgue.
And I was saying, like, we all talked about, oh, we went to the Zellers Diner, which is inside the store with no windows, which
yes.
was in a mall where you could have gone to the food court or a nice restaurant, and instead we go to this dreary diner. Like, everything about
is right there, and instead you're in.
You're going to the diner, the Zellers Diner. Like, they.
I guarantee that
get
if we
a hamburger sandwich,
if we could pick you up and drop you right into a Zellers store from the 90s,
yeah.
you would be like, God, this is depressing.
Yep,
this is. I am bummed out now.
Oh yeah, yeah, nothing about it.
We shopped at Zellers because we had to. Nobody was like, gee, I hope my mom gets my back to school outfit from Zellers.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get my hands on those four-stripe Adidas track pants and Suji sneakers.
I mean, sometimes they had some cool, like, Disney stuff. Like, I remember having a Mickey Mouse shirt from there that I kind of liked. That was before you tried to dress cool, though. That was
once
when you were
old enough.
Or the Zeddy Ride, right? The Zeddy Ride always encouraged me for a bit, but that was about it. That's where it stopped.
You know how many NBA players have a shoe deal with Suji, Shauna?
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
I know.
Nobody wanted Suji sneakers. You don't miss Zellers. This is entirely nostalgia.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
You and I were laughing yesterday about certain email sentiments. And there's one that gets my goat just a little bit. And it's when people end their emails with just best.
Just like best. Shauna.
Yes.
Like that?
Yeah. Best and then
best
the name.
Best what?
That's exactly like best. Am I the best? Because
best
my best. Is that what you're saying? Best taco place? I don't know what you're talking about. Best what? Bet you think you're the best because then you sign your name.
God, is that lazy?
Holy crap. It seems so insincere to me because it almost feels like you are too busy to write anything else. Like, if you mean best regards or something, let's say, and this is the short form for it, are you too busy to type in the extra six letters it takes to write the regards after?
Yeah,
you just
farted out this
you
email.
You can't fathom to add those extra six letters.
Best.
I'm not important enough. So no, just best for you. And sometimes they even have a period. Like, it'll be best dot. That's it. Excuse me.
I think they think it reads cooler than it does.
Yeah. I don't know why. And maybe it's just me because we do have a job where we don't have to send out a lot of emails.
Yeah.
Okay. Hardly any at all. In fact, we're not very good at that type of thing. So maybe it's because of that I don't understand that. Maybe there's something I'm missing about it, but it does. It seems truly best.
But when I send an email, I don't even have a pleasantry at the end. I just finish my email and then I sign my name.
Yep.
And that I have my email signature and that's it.
Well, and sometimes I'll say, like, you know, thanks for taking the time or something, but
yeah.
You can put that in your damn email signature. If regards is too much to type, have that just at the end in part of your email signature. And then guess what? You don't have to write anything.
At the other end of the email, at the front of it, the one that drives me nuts is when it's addressed to all.
I know.
All. Hi, all, or just all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're sending it to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So instead of like, hey, everyone, hey, everybody, it's just all.
And that's all I envision when I hear is all with your hands
you're
up.
You're gesturing
yes.
inclusively.
Exactly.
All.
Yes, you are standing
all
atop the sermon or something and be like, all, here's what I'm about to say. And you're like, okay.
This email is for all.
All.
Best.
Yep.
Beckler.
That's just very,
oh, man.
Seems quite insincere. Okay.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
We've talked about election signs recently for the federal election, now for the municipal election coming up. And then the signs for like specific political causes that we're seeing popping up.
Yeah.
Which is a fairly new phenomenon. Like, now there is a sign for every political cause.
Yes.
Some people have all of them on their front lawn.
Which is a bit crazy.
But my favorite
a lot of signs.
My favorite are these new ones that are popping up, and they have to do with one of the referendums we're voting on in October here. And it's the one for fluoride. So the sign is, it's purple, I think, and it's got a tooth It's got a cartoon tooth.
Right, yeah.
And then it says, yes, fluoride.
Which is...
And and I don't know why I find that so funny.
Like every single year we have the discussion about fluoride. It comes back.
Yeah, it's been voted. This will be the seventh time it's been voted
on
in Calgary.
Holy crap. And now we've got some signs supporting it. Like people are really, really passionate about their fluoride, clearly.
Yeah, well, that's the. I think that's why I find it so funny is like of all the things to put a sign on your lawn about, the fluoride seems to be like the most... mundane.
It's got to just be dentists. Like no one else would be that passionate about fluoride, would they? Like,
I wondered that because I saw one of these signs a few weeks ago on my drive home, and then this weekend I came home and my neighbors have one in their lawn too.
Okay,
they're not dentists.
All right,
but I want to talk to them about it. Like,
who's the fluoride aficionado that's like knocking door to door? You know what you need on your lawn. Like, how do you feel about fluoride? Passionate enough for the sign here? Yeah,
good.
Some of the other signs are to do with fairly big things like public education,
healthcare,
defending the parks. Right, was a big sign campaign this last year.
And now fluoride.
And I want to know who's like at their door, and all these people are knocking, and they're like, no. Mm-hmm. Hang on, what's this?
Fluoride, though.
Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, my passion has always been fluoride, so you give me that sign, and I will display it proudly.
And like, I'm pro water fluoridation, but I wouldn't.
Put a sign on your lawn.
Put a sign on my lawn. I'm going to ask my neighbors about it. Be like,
you should.
You guys just really passionate about fluoride?
You've got to ask them. Yeah. What happened there? And who was it? Who's the fluoride master? A little tooth fairy that's floating around and been like, you want some fluoride signs?
Because these people have never had any other, like, they've never had a campaign sign. They've never had a sign for any of these other causes.
Maybe they feel it's neutral enough. Maybe that's why.
It's like, I am engaged.
Yes.
I do care about what's happening in this city.
But I don't know if we're going to get into a fighting argument with our neighbors about fluoride.
Some people are pretty intense about the fluoride thing, I guess.
Of all the other issues, I think it maybe is the most aim. So maybe that's it. Almost like our just vote damn it signs. It's like,
right.
I care about democracy and voting, but I don't
want to make too strong of a statement.
So fluoride, yeah.
Is there anybody handing out ones for daylight saving time? Because I would take one of those.
Holy. The other one that we have the discussion about every year.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was reading yesterday about how George Clooney gave 14 of his friends $1 million. Do you see
no.
this?
No. $1 million to 14 different people.
So I guess this happened a while back, but he hasn't ever confirmed nor denied this story. But what happened is he wanted to thank these friends because he said he would never be where he was without all of them. And he said that they all helped him out at one time or another to get where he was. So he invited them all over and each of them got this briefcase. And in the briefcase was $1 million for each of his friends.
Big. God, I'm glad I let that guy sleep on my couch.
Yeah, no kidding. I guess a couple of his friends tried to give it back, especially the ones that were a bit more successful. And like, we don't need this. And he was like, no, absolutely not. This is your money. And he said to one of his friends who tried to give it back, he goes, if you give it back, it means everybody else has to give the money back. So that guy was like, okay.
And it probably made him feel really good to do it. And the idea of just like acknowledging that no man is an island, right?
Our
success is all shared, so.
Yeah, and he was talking about how, you know, some of his friends are successful, but other ones aren't, really. Like, they kind of have jobs that are very mediocre or kind of minimum wage, even. And so, of course, that would be amazing for them. But I've always talked about how if I won the lottery, I would do that. I would, if I won enough, I would pay my friends to basically be my entourage. Because I was thinking, I was like, what good is getting $100 million if you don't have people to spend it with? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would love to travel. That's probably what I would do with a lot of the money, but I'm not going alone.
So you'd pay for your friends' trips and stuff?
Yeah. And I'd try and, if they wanted, like, try and maybe even find them jobs so they felt like they were earning the money in some way, shape, or form, or, you know, make them feel like it's not just some sort of charity in some way.
Yeah. And I think a lot of very successful people do that. They employ, you know, family and friends in some form.
And I totally understand it because, again, like, otherwise it's just no fun. Obviously, I would secure the money for my family first and then from there I would go on, and if I had enough left, I would definitely give my friends money.
How would you draw the cutoff point, though?
I know that's where, like, it would,
have you ever,
would be tough.
Have you ever made like a wedding guest list or tried to figure out who's going to be in your wedding party?
Yep.
You have to make some tough decisions.
It's very true. And you'd basically just have to, it sucks to say, but like rate your friends in terms of closeness. You know what I mean?
Put a like dollar amount on them?
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing to do.
It's weird because during COVID, it's actually been an interesting thing because I've had this very small core of friends that I've been hanging out with for a lot of it, right? Like as part of the restrictions that almost kind of made that happen. And now I'm like, well, they're kind of my entourage. They have been for the last 2 years. So those three people would probably be the ones, and then maybe I'd cut it off at that, you know? But
right. It's also like a snapshot in time, though.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people, like I mentioned, a wedding party, how many people will look back on their wedding party and be like, I'm not even friends with that person anymore?
I know.
Because it changes, right?
It does. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple friends that I are lifetime friends with, and, you know, when I go back home, for example, I visit. There's only a couple. So it's like, would you include those? And again, I suppose it matters on how much money you really have and how far you can extend this umbrella. But
it gets sticky, though, because as nice as the gesture is, I mean, if you're the friend that just missed the cut, this guy got $1 million and this guy didn't.
Well, think of even George Clooney and the 14 friends he picked.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. It's got to be tough, but still,
I guess you could quietly give the money to those people.
Yes.
And then you could throw a banger of a party for everybody else.
Yeah.
And be like, I appreciate you, but just do not look in what's in those people's briefcases.
$100 gift cards for you and $1 million for them.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I saw some friends on the weekend, and one of them he's got a bit of a new look going on.
Oh.
Do you remember when we talked about how the single dangly earring has made a bit of a comeback amongst young men?
Yes.
You see it online all the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, my friend is trying this out. He's in his mid-30s.
Okay.
Let me tell you, he was taking some heat over it from the other guys there.
Of course.
One buddy said to him, he's like, what's that? He's like, what do you mean, what's that? You know what this is. It's an earring.
Oh, that's amazing.
Lots of jokes about like getting a fishing lure caught in his ear.
Of course.
Fishing accidents, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And this has been true of every group of male friends I've ever had.
I was going to say, guys are relentless with that kind of thing.
If you try anything out of the ordinary.
Yep. Yeah, any change at all. Like, I remember when the skinny jeans thing came to be became big, and holy crap, were guys just going at each other for that.
And as a guy who has tried out some different looks over the years, I have taken my fair share of heat, too.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think every guy does. Like, most guys at one point or another will try something different, and then they just get... You get that relentless beat down, and I don't know.
Anything that isn't like jeans, a t-shirt, and a crew cut. If you have anything other than that.
Or a jersey.
Jerseys
are fine.
Right?
Yeah, let those pass. But honestly, anything else,
You want to try a little bit of a different haircut? I mean, I have long hair, which I put up in a bun. I hear about that.
Of course.
Every time there's a photo post to be on the station page.
Yep.
Some Terry's commenting.
Of course.
On my bun.
Yep.
But you want to try out like a new accessory or as a guy?
No.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare to take your licks, man.
Is that your girlfriend's jeans?
Like that was the big
all
one.
Those?
Yeah. Oh, man. That's true.
Sorry for trying to be myself.
It's okay. See, girls are we're better at that. Like girls are definitely, you know, you're very open. It's quite the opposite, in fact. And then for guys, for some reason, no.
Although girls, I think, will be supportive. Oh my God, you look great.
And then behind their backs.
Like,
yeah.
What is she wearing?
You know what? To be honest, that's far worse. So
this guy's just like, you look like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to tell you how I really feel.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
As you know, we were in Niagara Falls this weekend for a bachelorette. And at one point, I thought about maybe trying to go to a strip club because it's a bachelorette. I stumbled into the reviews section of the strip clubs, though.
On Google?
Yeah. First off, the idea of leaving a review for a strip club is absolutely hilarious to
me. That's amazing.
Like, never would think to do that. But if you have a little bit of time and want some serious entertainment, just start reading reviews of strip clubs because they do not disappoint.
Now, is it a review of the venue or is it a review of the dancers?
A mixture of both.
Okay.
So some of them here, I have them just to read them off to you. Now, this is the number one club. Let me tell you something. The women were smoking hot. I would recommend. Yeah! Woohoo! Reading that one, I was like, well, this is where we need to go.
Was the yeah part of it?
No, that was just me adding on. Sorry.
It's like,
I
hope someone left the strip club and it's like, I'm going to leave a review and all they leave is a Lil Jon.
Oh, yeah! I mean, that would sell you right there. You'd be like, I'm in. Great dancers. A lot of fun for me and my buds after a long day at work. Beats going home to the GFs and kids.
Okay.
Right on.
Okay.
Right on. Better looking girls compared to downtown Detroit. I don't know what that means. The dancers were so slow at dancing, though, it seems like they were out of it. Needs to be more energetic. That says, speed it up, ladies.
We've got a choreographer in the audience here.
We sure do. The dancer...
Come on, girls. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Too slow. My jimmies aren't rustled. You need to speed this up, okay? The dancer, there was only one, was totally drunk. Okay. Thanks for
that's not good.
That's not good at all.
You want your dancer sharp.
You do. I'm like, were they though, or who knows? Anyway, thanks for the tip on Smirnoff Ice and Grenadine, Jennifer. Classy drink choice for sure. Cece stole my $5.
Is Cece one of the dancers?
I must be. I paid for 2 dancers and only had 1. I'm just trying to get a break from work and my wife.
Hope your wife doesn't find your Google account,
no,
man.
Kidding.
Like,
no, especially because they were real names. Like, this is attached to your email. Do you not realize?
I never thought to leave a review for a strip club.
I never would. Also, $5. Like, you're complaining. You're at a strip club and you're complaining about $5 right now. Like,
you're in the wrong place, brother.
Holy crap!
The BNS in 20 minutes or less podcast.
Goddamn. All right. Our promotions director, Kim, is in here. Kim, you wanted to set the record straight on something we talked about recently on the show.
Yeah, so you guys did a break on Pedal Pubs a few weeks ago, and I was on board with you.
With how annoying they are?
Powered by Wooz, they go by, and even if you're just a pedestrian, it's like, oh my gosh, there they go, like so annoying.
It's obnoxious.
And if you're in a car, it's worse. You're like stuck behind them. They're going like 7 kilometers an hour.
For sure.
I did one on Sunday.
Okay. And?
It was amazing. It was so good. The Wooz just like came out.
Involuntarily.
No, I was just sitting, not even moving, and I was being like, woo!
You didn't realize that it was you wooing at first?
No.
Who's wooing? Oh, it's me.
Oh, I had to check over my shoulder. I was like, who's wooing behind me? Oh my gosh.
Okay, I have to be honest. When we did that break, like I wanted to go on one for sure. I still think they're a bit obnoxious, but I was like, I've been trying to get to one, and every time I think about it, it's always too late. They're sold out. And it's more to just kind of see what it's like, but I never thought I'd be a wooer. But you're saying that the minute you get all money, you just can't help it. You just can't help yourself.
I didn't think I'd be a wooer either. Like, I thought that I would, you know, be like, this is fun. Like, oh, let's sing along with the songs. No. Screaming the entire time.
Do you have to? Do they get you whipped up into a frenzy?
They get me wooed up.
Like a late night talk show crowd? Like, is that what they do? They get you a lather?
I picture some, like, magnetic field around them where you just can't help it. Like, they actually, the magnets draw the wooers out of you, like, honestly
they do. And you know what, the playlist, I wasn't, Mr. Brightside came on.
Oh yeah,
that's what got you going.
And I was like, what a odd song to pick. And the next thing I knew, my hands were coming off the bar. I was, there's like a rail you can smack.
They know.
And it was like,
they
coming
know
out of my cage. And I'm like, it was so good.
I have to be, when I've passed them, I have heard the music they're playing, and every time they have a banger on. Mm-hmm. So they must have a pretty curated playlist to make the Wooz come out. They know the Wooz songs.
Interesting. So you did a full 180 on the old Pedal Pub.
A full 180. I completely eye rolled at Pedal Pubs. Not again. Not ever
again.
I want to do it again right now. It's like not even 10 in the morning. I'm like, give me the beers. Put me on the Pedal Pub. Let's go.
Kim, I could see you working on those down the line. Like,
you
next summer, you're guaranteed you're going to be part-time working on the Pedal Pub, aren't you?
Do they have a pilot and then someone kind of work in the back of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have a driver.
Yeah.
But you do have to pedal. I will say that. I was like,
is it hard work?
I was honestly surprised. I was sweating. It was hard. But they do have a driver. They have like an assistance motor, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a person in the back. And I feel like their main job is to make sure that you are sitting the whole time, because people will like stand up to pedal.
Okay.
And they want you to stay sitting. But I think their whole job is like to make sure you stay sitting, and then also to like bang on the sides.
To just keep the party going?
To pump you up.
This sounds like the drunk man's version of, like, cycling classes. You know what I mean? Like, where it's just there's somebody, a hype man, getting you pumped up.
Yeah.
Like, you can do it. And
totally.
Interesting. Okay.
There should be, like, a Pedal Pub Peloton crossover somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be an intro. Okay.
Awesome. That works.
Thank you. Sweet.
You're BNS in 20 minutes or less.
You love your car. Bet you'd love lower interest and lower payments, too. Refinance your auto loan with House of Cars and love the freedom of having more money in your pocket. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
One of the big election issues and really one of the big discussions around Calgary as a whole right now is how we can revitalize the downtown. That's a big buzzword right now. Revitalize what we can do downtown.
So many of those buildings are empty. And if the downtown of a city dies, it does not bode well for the longevity of that city.
Definitely not.
Yeah, it's a big issue and it should be.
It is. I was going to say, I tend to agree. I think we really need to think about that. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, you and I are quite good at giving things an image update.
Ooh.
So maybe we could help out with this.
Downtown a little more enticing.
Yeah.
A little more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make downtown Calgary
sexy.
Ooh. Yeah. Keep going past the Beltline.
Mm. Ooh.
Asian, Italian, Mexican, Spanish, Thai. You can have anyone you want. There's just so many options downtown.
Ooh. Yeah. You get lots of head. Offices in the downtown core.
Ooh, there are so many ways to get down. Some avenues are a little tighter than other, but they all get you to the same place.
Is this a one way, or can I go in both directions?
Ooh. Oh, Claire, I'll take you down. Open up your belt line, tickle your core, and take you to China Pound Town.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Etymology with Shauna.
I was reading about the origin of the word pilot yesterday. We were talking about pilots, and I went down that rabbit hole. And it's another word stolen from the nautical dictionary, which I didn't know.
Well, we've learned that everything comes from...
Absolutely everything is.
The nautical world.
It used to refer to somebody who steers a ship, and that came from the ancient Greek word pedote, which means dude with oars. Or oarsman, essentially.
Dude with oars.
Obviously, dude with oars wasn't the ancient Greek way of saying it, but somebody with oars, so an oarsman. Also, in my internet travels, I learned that pedote in Spanish has a very different meaning. It means big fart in Spanish, quite different than the Greek meaning of oarsman. So, side note there.
Those two things are unrelated as far as I know.
Completely unrelated, yep. Anyway, pilot was also used for the operator of a balloon in the mid-1800s. And in the early 1900s, the words aerial pilot or aeronautic pilot were used. But so was the term operator, just plain operator.
Okay. For pilots of, fixed wing aircraft.
Exactly.
It's funny because I took a balloon ride one time, mm-hmm. and the guy flying it referred to himself as a hot air balloon pilot. And I was like, I never really thought about that, but I guess that is what you're doing. You're piloting this thing.
Exactly.
I don't know what else I thought they would have been called.
And that's early pilot's license actually said aviator pilot, not just pilot. And it was to distinguish between the balloon pilots and the pilots of winged aircraft.
Okay.
And then obviously as balloons became less frequently used for common travel, it was just shortened to pilot as a whole because we didn't need to, just let people know that I'm not piloting a balloon anymore. So we just go with pilot now.
And also the pilot of a balloon is really just controlling the up and down, mm-hmm. right? The wind is doing most of the where you're going part of it, isn't
it? It's true. So yeah. I mean, you could say
I'm probably oversimplifying it. I'm sure flying a balloon is more difficult than
I was going to say, yeah. And I mean, flights, they've got autopilot now too. So that helps. It's a lot easier than it used to be, but yes.
Getting around by balloon, not the most efficient, hey?
Nope. No, and it used to happen a lot. That used to be our main mode of travel, which is...
I need to go west. Not today. Not today. You're not going west.
And even the wind changes direction. Imagine trying to do that here where the wind changes direction every hour. You'd be stuck up there for a good... You'd be like, I'm never coming
down. Don't know where we're going.
Oh, Chinook rolls in. Awesome. Great.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I got a message on Instagram from friend of the show, Adam. And it was a photo of a Calgary-based lawn care company called Lawn Enforcement Officers.
He sent this to me too, and it almost ruined my week.
But Adam wanted to know if this would qualify for the Fortune 500 list of local businesses, which we keep, businesses with great puns in their name, or if it would qualify for lawn cops. And I said, guess what, neighbor? It's both.
Yep.
It is a rare double whammy.
It is a double whammy for sure.
We've got a great pun.
It's a great pun.
Fortune 500, mm-hmm. Lawn Enforcement Officers.
Yep.
And they're lawn cops.
There was a gentleman on Instagram who he was called the Lawn Father as well. Do you remember that?
The Lawn Father. There's also great. Lawn and Order, I think. Yep. I'm surprised we haven't done
the
Lawn
Father. Father is another. I know. So
just
many.
All these police-based puns to do with lawn.
Yep.
Surprised we haven't done lawn cops yet, but we haven't.
Nope.
Stretch out, Sean. Are you feeling good?
Okay, I'm ready.
Lawn cops!
Lawn cops! We are lawn cops. Unruly lawns will get chopped.
Lawn cops!
Lawn cops!
We've got reports of sloppy edging. Let's roll.
Did you just say grab ass, son? No, I said crab grass, sir. That's right.
Grass cops!
Grass cops!
What kind of blades are those, son? Just lawnmower blades, sir. That's right.
Pesticide is better than a resticide.
Landscaping cops!
Landscaping cops!
Keep up with irrigation, or we'll take you to the station.
Make good lawn decisions, don't go to lawn prison.
Lawn cops!
Been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.